This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome to another episode of the Shortcut Early Bird podcast, presented in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. You can find them online at www.mysta.org. We'd also like to thank the Long Island, Adirondack, and Finger Lakes Regional Golf Course Superintendent Associations for their continued support of the Shortcut newsletter. Let's get to the weekly growing season observations with Dr. Frank Rossi. Okay, it's April 27th, here again with Dr. Frank Rossi. Frank, let's, as always, start with the weather. Where are we at and compared to our seasonal averages? And then what does the weather have in store for us the next week or two?
Okay, well, Art DiGaetano, our weather guy at the Northeast Climate Center, was very clear that, you know, the growing season is sort of where it's at. It's normal, believe it or not, with warm conditions. It's a little bit ahead of last year, but virtually within just a few days. So I thought the more important thing that he was saying is, listen, it's very clear we're going into a warm and dry pattern for the next 5 to 7 days. And it appears things are setting up for a return to cool and wet weather that primarily the coast is plagued with right now, that it looks like it's going to blanket the entire Northeast area. So the cool and wet air, the cool and wet longer term forecast, Carl, set us up for the discussion about fungal disease.
Yeah, so this abrupt warm up for the next couple of days and then cool down will of course have an impact on diseases and fungal pathogens, correct?
Yeah, especially for leaf diseases, right? And oddly enough, you know, we're not used to seeing many leaf pathogens active this early. Our dollar spot model kicked up a little bit of higher risk to the southern part of the region, southern Jersey and Maryland. We don't have a model yet for pink snow mold, but pink snow mold or microdochium patch or fusarium patch is likely to be a bigger issue as the tissue gets lush. The warm, dry conditions, there's plenty of moisture in the system. Sunlight, warm weather, increasing mowing, lush growth will be set up for cool, wet conditions that are likely to cause some fungal pathogen problems. So one of the things we took from that is, as you go through this next 5 to 7 day period, if you have low cut golf turf primarily, this is for low cut golf turf, or high value pro-end sports fields, university sports fields, sand-based sports fields, high value inch and a half cut sports fields, probably might consider a preventative application of things like iprodione, chlorothalonil. He liked flutioxanil or medallion. We have that available. I know Civitas works very well on the pink snow mold organism. So if you're in a routine of making preventative applications, it's a little bit early, but it looks like conditions are setting up for that, which also led us to the discussion of what conditions we've had in the past are setting up for those little critters that like to jump on us, Carl.
Yeah, so we're getting reports from all of our people around the Northeast about consumers complaining about ticks. So what can we say about the tick populations this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know what we've been saying for the last several years, and that has been on the heels of a mast year when oak trees and many trees are producing enormous amounts of food for the rodent population, especially the white-footed mouse that, you know, is responsible for being a harbor for a lot of the ticks we get concerned about that then become deer ticks, dog ticks, Lone Star ticks. I'm not a tick expert. One of the things we learned is there are places where you can get ticks identified, but there are not many places where a place will test if the tick is carrying a pathogen. So right now it's important to just be mindful. There's a lot of ticks out there. The woods and edges of the woods are the highest risk areas, quite a bit lower risk on the low-cut turf, but we did learn that the Lone Star tick tends to hang around in some of the lawn areas. So we're not ready to start saying anything yet, and a lot of this is because, Carl, we don't have research in lawn management and ticks. But we do have a lot of stuff on weed control in lawns, and that was our final topic of the day.
Yeah, we had this conversation about consumers being very impatient and wanting to see immediate effects when they're treating for weeds. So how have products shifted to meet that desire of impatience by the consumers?
Well, of course, that creates quite a bit of funny conversation among people who try to educate consumers and professionals. And even professionals don't entirely understand this either. But the perfect example of what we're talking about, there's two ways of looking at it. One is the non-selective way we typically control weeds. Roundup is such a miracle product. Whatever the environmental things that we may not be able to use it anymore or may get restricted in the future, the reality is that product is absorbed rapidly into a plant, rendered relatively ineffective once it hits organic matter, but it gets in the plant and moves very effectively, and within 20 minutes, that plant is effectively on its way to being dead. But that systemic movement of the product, right, takes a long time for the consumer to see. And so the response to that has been products that they're finding in Roundup Gel, we heard about, Quick Pro, where they put a little bit of a contact herbicide in there that burns the leaf back so that consumers can see something. But sometimes that compromises the long-term effect of Roundup. This is also done in broadleaf weed control, the Speed Zone, the Cool Zone, a lot of these products that have carfentrazone in them. That carfentrazone, which is a strong growth regulator, it has some herbicide activity that it can do, but actually was developed initially to reduce growth of grasses. When they started putting it in broadleaf three-way mixes with typical Trimec combinations, it was giving that initial burn that consumers want to see and really not compromising long-term weed control. So in that case, it's worked very well to give the consumer what they wanted with carfentrazone, that quick kill, and the long-term kill with the 2,4-D and the other things that are in there. It's not worked as well in the Roundup area, and a lot of that's because consumers and sometimes commercial people overdose to get the visual effect, and that compromises the long-term effect. So it's one of those behavioral things, Carl, that we laugh about and I guess we'd call job security.
Yeah, I guess so. Another great conversation today where we discussed a variety of topics as usual, from ticks to weeds to diseases. As a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at CornellTurf, where we'll be tweeting out bits of information that didn't make it into this conversation. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. Hope you join us then.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.